It's Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hello, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. I was looking at the stats and seeing that there are listeners from all across the world, the globe. I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you're finding things that you can at least consider and possibly share and utilize, because that's what this is about. This is about connecting and finding things that that we all share in common with different types of experiences, paranormal, unexplained, intuition, all of that. There's a wonderful, I think, now recognizing of these as factual. This is part of being human. It's part of our experience. And the more we compare different stories, the more we find there isn't any one way. There are multiple ways. And once you get, in some way, shape, or form, introduced, you can vary your whatever you do to address the problem. Okay? But right now, I wanted to get in. We've talked with them before, and this is the Ghost Helpers. And it's a duo here now, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. And we're going to catch up because they have, since we last talked, there's a new program out where they're teaching. It's a study course. And then, of course, if you haven't read the books, The Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, 3 volumes from Tina Irwin, that's a nice way to start too, because it's about, this is, we are one way or other, whether we're bodies or not bodies, we are consciousness. And it's amazing when we can connect with those other forms of life that are really all around us. Hi, guys. You guys are sharing a microphone. So as far as I know, we're good to go and we'll charge on. Congratulations on developing and launching your program, both of you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. This is Tina. For the listeners, don't know which voice is which.
Yes.
We really are thrilled. Okay, Laura, your turn.
All right, yeah, thank you for having us. And we have started another program called Ghost Helpers, where the paranormal is more normal than most people think. And it's throughout this journey, everyone has a paranormal type of story. So what do you do about it? How can you help yourself? How can you take your power back? And that's what we're about.
Well, everyone is psychic. And the reason we're really adamant about this is because psychic ability keeps you safe. It's that voice in your head. It warns you about the guy up there. You just know it's going to change lanes in traffic.
And our intuition is our most valuable psychic ability when we learn how to use it.
And not being afraid of it and learning to be able to determine what is truth, what rings true to the core of your being when someone's speaking to you.
Well, part of it,
anyway,
I mean, it can be confusing when you're first realizing that there's another voice in there that is basically your grounding, your source, and then getting a fear, which is a projection of, oh, this can't happen, the worry. And so that's where we have to start sorting what's the intuition and what's the fear or the projection.
You know, that's a really good point, and I'm going to plug us for just a minute. We actually have a free online course. It's 1 hour, called The Secret Science Behind Intuition. And if you're unsure of what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, or if you want to develop what you have, it's a great way to explore this in a safe manner, and there's no commitment to it. There's no, you know, it's just public service, this course, because our psychic ability, like we said, is our greatest, intuition is our greatest psychic ability. Without it, you know, people want to say, you know, talking to ghosts or talking to this or that is an awesome psychic ability. Well, frankly, intuition is number one in our book because it's what keeps us safe.
Well, the stories I've read and the stories that, you know, people talk about in terms of like a military application, when you've got somebody with you and you're in a scene where your life is at stake, they always wanted the guy on point, the person who had that hunch, who had that ability to kind of scan the scene. Now we call it remote viewing, but to look ahead and say, we can't go there.
You know, Tina's got a few of those stories, being a retired naval commander.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, people don't know that they're remote viewing it. They just think that they're getting, quote, that sense. But their subconscious is actually projecting and evaluating something. And they wouldn't ever think of it as something that's that sophisticated. But there are those situations where someone says, you know, we shouldn't go around that corner, or we should take a different course.
Or that guy is going to change lanes and cut me off.
Or I'll use my husband as an example. He was a captain of a research ship, and he was supposed to head into the Persian Gulf. And they routed him around the Horn of Africa, relatively close to the shoreline. And he told the company, no, we are going 200 miles farther east because there's going to be pirates there. And they said, no, you'll be fine. He said, no. And as they were moving toward the Persian Gulf, they could hear all these other ships on the radio who were attacked by pirates. And the crew looked at him and it's like, oh, my God, thank God you kept us safe.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that area is notorious. You know, but those kinds of hunches, people downplay them until it works. And when it works, it's like, OK, how do I do that? What am I? You know, and that's the whole point. If one person can do it, others have the ability. And it's like, you know, some people are world class runners, others aren't. But it doesn't hurt to see just how accomplished and how adept you are. And you don't know until you try.
And we all can run to varying degrees. Even if you're quadriplegic, you can still move. If you're in a wheelchair, it's just a different widget. So we all have it within ourselves.
When you're teaching, and that's what you're doing now is offering classes, do you have some results from your students that you can share?
We have so many. Goodness. I actually got one this morning saying that we have another class, Psychic Self-Defense. And Wendy, we'd like to offer this class to your listeners. If they are interested in this class and they use the coupon code Wendy, we'll give them $100 off. So it brings it down to $500. But just this morning, I got an email from somebody who took the Psychic Self-Defense class saying it saved my daughter's life. Their family had been living in a haunted house, and she took the class. They've been following through and doing what the psychic self-defense class says to do, and she's like, we can sleep now, and my daughter's not being harassed. And for us, that's life-changing. And they did the effort. They did the work, and they're reaping the benefits of it. I mean, it's a lot of times people just want to hand their power over on a platter and just say, fix it. When you have the paranormal issues, because it's scary, it's not easy, but we can go in and fix it, but it's just a Band-Aid until you start doing that inner work, that core work, and that's what the psychic self-defense class is about.
Okay, I want to go back, step back, because if you can give some examples, I had a client recently who was saying, the things that I'm experiencing, horrific dreams of being attacked, and she didn't want to go sleep at night at all because this is when things happened. And the psychology is, well, okay, you're just imagining here, we'll give you something that will help you sleep. And it's like, wait, no, that opens you wide. That makes it even more problematic. So could you address that? Because this is giving details on some of these things helps people understand whether someone is experiencing it, they know, or something that they've had happen themselves. When we just kind of say, okay, it was, you know, they had a bad case of paranormal attack. Well, what is it? What is that? How does that work?
It can manifest in many different ways. It can manifest in, you know, night terrors for a child or an adult where they feel paralyzed and frozen and they can't scream out and they can't move at night. And that's terrifying. When that happens, it's not your imagination. There's something in there that is terrorizing you. And your subconscious sees it, feels it. Sometimes they can touch you. Sometimes they can cause other forms of harm to you. And that's, frankly, it's not cool. Tina and I have both been there, which is why we built this psychic self-defense class, because we took what we learned over the years. You know, a little bit of sage and white light isn't going to fix this problem. So night terrors is an example, or if you have dreams that are not yours and somehow you know they're not yours. I talked to a woman who reached out to me yesterday who's looking at this class as well, because she is having dreams about her daughter doing these horrible things. And she knows these are not hers. And she ended up doing a few things in her past that may have opened up a doorway. One of those that was basically a Ouija board. So stay away from Ouija boards. So she is scared. She's trying to figure this out. And the idea is you have to shore up your defenses. At night, when we go to bed, we lock our doors and windows, right?
Yeah.
That keeps the robbers and the rats and the vermin out of our house. Well, what do we do in this other dimension that most people can't see, but it still exists and it still affects us?
Right.
And I think that the reason we put this course together is because Laura and I have a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks. In addition to all the things that our clients have experienced that we've alleviated for them, at the end of the day, there's just two of us. What would happen if we could teach other people how to do some of the simplest things to keep themselves in a much safer and balanced place?
And this also goes to, you know, the paranormal, yes, but also, do you have a toxic coworker who you can feel their negative energy hitting you, the empath type of personality, and you've got, you know, this toxic narcissistic coworker? This course also addresses those people as well, because that's a form of psychic attack.
In other words, one of the things we focus on is physics. One of the criticisms of the metaphysical or New Age community is they're not rooted in science. And what makes our course unique and, frankly, a little bit revolutionary is that we explain the science behind what we're sharing. And if you have a family member who says, oh, that's just, you know, I don't believe in that. Okay, but what if you could explain the science behind what's happening to you, why it's happening to you, and that these remedies and solutions will address the science reason why, and now you can go back to a place of balance. Because metaphysics means what's beyond the physics you think you know. And the reason we focus on this is because in the Civil War, this one doctor just knew if you washed your hands between patients, your infection rate went down.
Right.
He said he was crazy. But you couldn't see germs and bacteria till a microscope was invented. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't real.
Okay. So part of this, though, and I experience it at work, too, if you're sharing space with somebody who's constantly coming in and complaining and in a bad mood or frustrated or really doesn't want to be there, that energy is an overlay of that space. And so sometimes, in my experience, it will create electrical issues. It will create, when you go in, you automatically feel, out of sorts. What's up? That's because there's this little overlay of toxic residue that's from the previous person. So the minute for me, I go into that space, I immediately blast it out and say, gosh, I'm so glad to be here. Wow, this is my space. This is fantastic. And I'm sharing it with somebody else. I want to leave it better than when I found it. And so I go in and I basically push out that other energy from my space. Doesn't necessarily stay in the room, but it's out of my space. So I have a buffer, and you can say I'm putting in my white light, whatever. For me, I just put out my energy and say, gosh, this is fantastic. I'm so glad to be here. What am I doing today? And that works for me to clear space as easily as anything else and any routine. But that's because I've been doing it for years. Makes sense?
And you're right. It takes practice. And also you have to have that energetic stamina to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we're exhausted, we just don't have it within us. And if you're ever in a meeting, this is just a really simple, easy tip. If you're ever in a meeting and you know you've got this toxic person who's kind of shooting daggers at you, it's like, you know, the
yeah.
proverbial daggers at you. If you simply just, because you want to be normal, you want to look normal, right?
That's the plan. Oblivion.
Exactly. And you can just kind of like bridge your fingers together so your hands are kind of cupped together a little bit. Put them on the table in front of you so they're kind of around your solar plexus to block that energy. And just intention the energy to not hit you in the solar plexus, because that's where we make our psychic connections. It's just a really quick and easy tip, because a big part of what we do is we have to be normal at the same time.
Yeah.
So what can we do to, when we are dealing with these psychic energies, to make us appear more normal than we really are?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of, that's the stigma. That's the stigma. If you do anything woo-woo, then
right.
you create,
fairy.
Then you scare everybody else and that's not okay. Okay. Well, but part of it too is that once you discover that some of these things work, you're less intimidated by what others think because you know you've claimed your power. And when it works for you, you don't stop doing it. You create other ways to make it a part of your routine where you don't stand out as much because it's autopilot.
Exactly.
Well, one of the other things this course does is it helps you understand a scientific principle called resonance. It's an old, maybe it's not just a Southern saying, birds of a feather flock together. Who or what are you in resonance with? And if you're in resonance with wonderful, happy, high-powered people, you're probably going to find that's who's surrounding you. And as you, Wendy, are going in and you're changing the resonance of the location with the energy of your thought, when you say, we're going to have a great day and it's going to work, that's basically spiritual, energetic leadership.
Yeah, I'm designing the template that's going to be the pattern of that room.
Yes.
And that's beneficial for everybody around. And if somebody has a low frequency or low resonance and they can't handle that, that becomes their problem, not yours.
Well, yeah, it's tough to be unhappy when the space around you is like, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy. It's like, oh, shoot, I have to lighten up, darn it.
But that happiness is contagious. And, when we think of things like the mind belt and things like that, if we can have more of that, that just echoes out.
Okay, so when you guys, your kit, and I really appreciate you sent me a kit. I handed it off to somebody who could use it. And she immediately discovered in terms of with what she could do that she was in a position where she could relocate. Not everybody has to do that. But when she realized she was over her head and this was going to take, you know, actually being able to follow through and having everybody who was involved participate and she couldn't control that, then she said, you know, this is better for us just to get out of this situation because it's toxic. And there were a lot of reasons it was toxic for whoever was going to be there. This wasn't a one-time fix. The location of the property, the water, the other elements that are just, you know, a natural for us in some way, either a problem or an enhancement because we're all different. For them, it was going to be more of a problem. So that, in that way, your kit helped her identify her strengths and her challenges. And so with a family to work with and not everybody on board, she said, all right, I got this. And they relocated. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And there are properties out there that are chronically haunted. And, you know, they change hands a lot. And what do you do with this property? Do you sell it? Do you make it someone else's problem? That's a tough call. And this course helps identify that and it helps to close those gaps. And it is, it's not always easy. And I think that this client you're talking about made the right decision because you do have to get people on board. I mean, and we've had clients where one person was on board, one wasn't on board, but they made it work. But everybody is different.
Yeah. 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 It's part of this. It's still for people, in some cultures, it's a stretch. And not only that, if you have one person clearing things out and the other person bringing things in, this is like the owner of an antique store that finally said, because it was affecting her teenage daughter. And this store, since I have been aware of the store, has gone through at least 5 changes of property owners in the last 8, 10 years because they can't quiet it down. And the worst place was when it was an antique store because that was part of the problem. She kept bringing new stuff in. They kind of clear it and something new came in and then her daughter was having issues.
You know, Tina has a great story. It's actually in Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. I forget which volume.
We have so many volumes, I don't remember.
1, 2, 3. Are there more?
Yeah. No, I might do a fourth one. It was an antique store in Indiana. And what was so interesting about this was they said, you know, we think it's haunted and we want you to clear it. And I was very, very blunt and honest and said, one, you have antiques. They have predecessor energy attached, which means the energy of the people who used to own them. And they said, well, we just need you to clear it. And I said, well, I will be glad to do that. I'll go back through what we call stacks of time for the property. But the next time you bring something new in, these things are going to happen. And then I gave them tools to clear their store every time, because you're not going to want to pay me to do that over and over and over.
Right, right.
Because
well, or they'll think
that
it
would
didn't
be
work.
Dishonest.
They'll think it didn't work.
Or don't
work.
Think it didn't work. And apparently it did work, but in their store, there was a little boy who was attached to a sled that, you know, he hit a wall and he broke his neck, so he died. There was a man who was still attached to his wife's wedding ring. He couldn't understand why she wasn't wearing it. And, you know, there was someone who was still sitting in her rocking chair, which is where she died. I mean, you go into an antique store, if you're truly sensitive to these things, and it's overwhelming. That antique stores have always been tough for me. Because you're feeling this barrage of the predecessor energy. But what was also on this property was the fact that in that space of Earth and the surrounding area, back through 200 years ago, there had been a massive tornado that destroyed all these homes. And this young girl and her family they died in the tornado. They didn't realize they were dead, and a mountain lion came and started to feed on the remains. And she thought, this young 14-year-old thought she fought the mountain lion off. And when I saw her, what had happened to her body was pretty horrific.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't see that. And so I cleared that energy. You reunited her family and their neighbors, crossed them all over, cleaned up the place, crossed over all of the relatives of all the predecessor energy. Took me hours to do that place.
Yeah.
And then gave them the tools to keep their place clean. But I had another woman call me from an antique shop in La Jolla, California, and she asked me if I could clear her place. And my first question, which had been, I'd also asked the other ones, do you have any tarot cards? And she said, well, yes, I do. And I said, then I can't clear your place if you have those cards, because it's an open doorway, not just with the antiques, with other things. And if you're not willing to destroy your cards, I'm not the person for you. And she got very angry at me and hung up. And so I was very, very honest about what is doable and
right.
what is not. Even
right.
though that did not make her happy with me, it's not worth the... That's just one example of some things you can do. And when you're connected to something that opens a doorway, then that makes it very difficult for people like us. And we explain the details of this kind of concept in our psychic self-defense course.
Okay. And part of that, too, just because you said you couldn't, didn't mean that it couldn't be done. It's just was not something that you are versed in or comfortable dealing with. That's part of this is about, you can't be angry with somebody for saying, this is not mine. Okay. And that's part
well,
of what you were doing.
Wasn't that I wasn't versed in. If someone has tarot cards, I'm going to be really blunt. You can pay somebody to clear that property from here to eternity. It will never be cleared.
When
you own the tarot cards.
They can open doorways, portals to darkness is the issue. So we can clear the property, no problem, but we're just putting a Band-Aid on it, and eventually the Band-Aid's going to wear out.
Okay, let me go back in. Because working with tarot cards, you're working with thought forms. And if you aren't clear as a practitioner and knowing what you're working with and just kind of dabbling, every time you get a new set, you're working with the thought forms, not only of the images that the person has created for you, but their energy, because they have embedded in that particular card, whatever oracle divination pack, an energy. And this is like, we go beyond that, or at least my experience, into books and into comic books and all the thought forms and energies that are attached to that. It's a lot deeper than people realize, in my opinion. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. This is also the issue with violent video games. You're creating
yes.
video, you're
yeah.
creating the thought forms of tremendous unconscionable violence against other human beings without, you know, killing them doesn't affect you in any way.
Okay, hold on.
That's very dangerous.
Let's take a break. Okay. And ghosthelpers.com is the website. And you guys also teach the karmic path. The courses are online, but ghosthelpers.com is the one we're focused on today with the ghost kit. I want to come back and go into what actually you get with the ghost kit. So for people who would like to take that psychic self-defense course, they've got an idea of what they're working with. Okay. So we're going to come back. My guests, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine, ghost helpers. The big problem we have is when people die now, a whole lot of people don't realize it. And so that's what's out there, is that these people who are kind of wondering, well, okay, I'm still here. Now what? I'm going to come back with more Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go on first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, he moved early. That's going to draw the yellow flag.
Offsides, number 72, 5 yards.
Check out this fan leaving the game. He's headed straight up the middle and right into a sobriety checkpoint. Let's see how he handles it.
No, officer, I haven't been drinking. I'm the designated driver.
Upon further review, this fan made the right call by being a designated driver.
Sign up to be the designated driver at the stadium and always buckle up. You could follow your favorite NFL team to the Super Bowl, provided as a public service by the station and Team Coalition.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. My guest, Tina Irwin, Laura Van Tine, ghosthelpers.com is the website. Okay, before I ask you to talk about the kit, the other thing is that the thought forms that are out there, the watching TV shows before you go to bed or video games or whatever, and you're focused on things like CSI, all sorts of spooky, frightening, bad things humans do to each other shows, and then you go to bed. So what's going to happen? Guys, you can deal with this.
Yes. So when we started down this, my family started this down this paranormal road, we couldn't watch the news. We couldn't do anything because those ghosts of the dead would come into our house.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do is if you go to ghosthelpers.com or Ghost Helpers YouTube stage channel, you can play the crossing over prayer before you go to bed. And that's going to cross over any dead that may become attracted to you, so to speak. And that's one layer of protection. Go to bed, turn off your TV a little bit earlier. Things like that help. As simple as that sounds, it can be helpful because there are things that come through, like thought forms and all kinds of stuff.
Well, if you have a person in your family who's really psychic, empathic, sensitive, whatever the term that is used, and you watch any of the history shows, or somebody else in the family is on a different TV and they're watching, you know, what happened in World War One or World War Two, the Civil War.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what comes through on electrical wire, because it's a little bit of a toxic. We know what EMFs are, electromagnetic frequencies, a little bit toxic. And that's why on the website we do have crossing over prayer cards. I actually taped one on the back of my television and my computers.
So and it's really quite helpful because I do the same thing. So, yes, electronics and those activities can bring attention, especially for more sensitive.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you are sensitive, my thing is when I work with people, I'll get a projection or a thought form or an image. And there was a guy I was working with, and I had a soldier walk through my house. I'm thinking, what the heck? Because I didn't know there were any soldiers on the property or around. And then I had an interview with him within the next at least 24 hours, possibly 8. And I realized he was watching a military thing. I can't remember if it was Game of Brothers or something, Company of Brothers. And it was all he was fixated with military imagery. So I'm picking up on his stuff because I knew, okay, this isn't mine. Where's it coming from? And my suspicion was, okay, there's somebody I'm dealing with who's doing this. And then I went to work and the other guy had that exact tape on. So in two different ways, I got this imagery and a little more that went with it because of what they were focused on. And that's how far our energy can go out and be receptive to other people in our space. So it's, you know, it's nice to be able to say, you can clear it, but that's what this psychic self-defense program is about, learning the levels of connection that we share. Make sense?
And how to appropriately deal with them. What role does our auric field play when it comes to these things? What role does our frequency play when it comes to these things? So we talk about all kinds of different elements. It's a 5-week course. And you get 5 weeks. Every week you get a different nugget, but then we give you the tools to practice what you've learned for the week. And yeah, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. One of the things I cannot stand about webinars and online courses is you spend 60 minutes listening to a bunch of dribble for a 30-second nugget.
Yes, yes. Boy, right there, slam dunk. Like, don't even
and
go there.
That, you know, because that's my biggest pet peeve, these things are jam-packed with information week after week after week. And you can go back and you can replay it, you can rewatch it, you can download the materials. The psychic self-defense class also comes with an extensive kit. And a lot of times when you sign up for something, it's like, oh, all these free gifts, right? And you look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, it's about 35 cents worth of free gifts, right?
And links. Yeah, they're links to something else, yes.
Right. Well, this kit comes with a book, Karma and Frequency, which explains what raises our frequency, what can lower our frequency, how that works, and the karma incurred with raising and lowering frequency. What the importance of your baseline frequency, the higher we can raise our baseline frequency when something happens, some kind of trauma or something, our baseline is high enough, so when we get knocked down, it's not like we're going to go down 50 pegs. We might go down a few notches. And it helps to keep us grounded. So what does that look like?
And we're very specific in that particular book. That's just one of the things in the kit.
It's a great resource.
They'll raise your frequency. If you don't tell people exactly what can affect them negatively and what can affect them positively, it gives them options to choose. Oh, I didn't realize that. Maybe I can make some changes. Gradually, you can't do everything at once.
And you don't want to do everything at once because you don't want your frequency to go from 10 to 1,000 overnight. It's uncomfortable and unnecessary.
Part of
and
it, too,
gradually.
In things that you don't, that we don't connect the dots on, there are some in our lives, bad things happen. Bad things means traumatic things, like losing somebody. I was just this morning reading about somebody losing a pet, and my dog is the exact same name, the whole nine yards, and she's starting to go. And so my energy is going to reflect that because I'm dealing on a level with grief and loss. Even though it hasn't happened, I'm in that mode because I know it's there. So that has a potential to lower my frequency as I work with other people. So in order not to project that, I have to go in and say, all right, this is mine, and I'm keeping that separate. And I won't go into how I do that, but that's part of something I have to realize that will impact me as I go about my business. And that's the real subtle thing that shifts our frequency without any intention, without any negativity, just dealing with the life circumstance. It's part of being here. Does that make sense?
Well, you're pre-grieving. And that's if you know something is coming, whether it's a pet or a person.
Yeah.
You're pre-grieving their passing. And it's its own challenge, just like a sudden shock is.
And it's a process. You're processing this so that when that action actually happens, you're a little more fortified at the same time.
I can be better for her. I can certainly be more present for her, knowing that this isn't it isn't escapable.
Right. We all do
it. It's a transition. It's a transition. And so I need to be the best I can to help her jump, to help her move, and to help her, you know, because this is, we're in a manifest level here that's all concrete. She's going to switch to the spirit plane. And I want to make sure that she doesn't leave anything behind, and I'm not attaching to her to make it more traumatic. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Believe me. When we deal with helping the dead, there's a lot of times the living can haunt the dead because of attachment.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help the living at all because you don't know what's your grief and what's their grief because the dead grieve also. So by crossing them over, making sure they're not a ghost, sending them home to the heaven world is the most spiritually compassionate thing we can do as a mortal.
Yeah.
Especially if a person or a creature suffered at death, or they had a chronic disability, or they were paralyzed, or whatever happened to them, the thought that an action that you could take would alleviate suffering and shift their entire karmic path for centuries to come by the simple fact of saying the crossing over prayer, asking for angels, is one of the most astounding and simple acts a mortal person can do, and it's the compassion each of us will want for ourselves.
And the kit that comes with the Psychic Self-Defense course comes with a book, but it also comes with a handful of crossing over prayer cards you can put in your purse, your car, behind your TV, or wherever. It comes with a lot of tools to help with those types of things.
What was really funny is recently I dealt with a guy, and it's kind of manifest also in the dream, where everything he did was to put up an obstacle, and the obstacles actually were what made the angels harder to, it made their job harder. And he realized that, oh my gosh, I'm blocking my angels. Can you address that?
A lot of times religions, I hate to say it, it's not going to be politically correct here, Wendy. Religions create guilt.
Yes.
And when you're not worthy of an angel, when you're told all of your life you're born in sin and you're going to die in sin, you're not worthy of an angel's help or an angel's love or God's love. That's a problem. And we've seen, Tina and I have crossed over countless people, and one of the main themes that we see is you get this sweet little old lady who's probably in her 80s or 90s who dies and doesn't cross over. But she went to church 5 days a week and twice on Sundays and, you know, attended every church potluck or whatever. And we talked to her and it's like, why didn't you cross over?
You saw the light. Oh, yes, I did. But God couldn't possibly love me. I'm a sinner. Yeah. I was born in sin. And but you also have the person who is guilty for something, and they will reject an angel for that reason. May not have anything to do with a particular faith or religion.
Yeah.
It's simply, I'm not worthy. I left my child in a hot car, and she died, and I'm not worthy. And understanding that every mortal person who dies and becomes goes back to the soul form is worthy of God's love. How do we ever heal future lives if we don't have soul restoration? And that's in the 23rd Psalm.
And a big part of this is crossing over those souls who may have been vicious and violent.
Yeah.
If you murdered somebody or were a serial murderer and you die and you don't cross over, you're going to reincarnate from that fourth dimension back to this earth plane, more broken and more violent. By crossing over that type of person, we're giving that access to that soul to the heaven world. And we worked, I think it was last summer, Tina, a young girl whose brother was murdered. And we worked with her, we crossed him over. And his murderer had also died. And she couldn't understand the importance of crossing over the brother's murderer. The importance is that murderer will haunt the living.
Yeah.
When we cross over the murderer, we're breaking the attachment, and now those divine beings have that soul for that realm and not in that fourth dimension.
And the challenge is the judgment. The judgment here is that, well, you're lesser than, and that doesn't happen when you cross into spirit. I mean, that there's no judgment from the other end. It's like, okay, we're all here. Let's get going forward. And there's an acknowledgement that maybe you could have done things a little differently. But when we try to say, well, you shouldn't have done this, well, we don't see the whole picture. There might have been an agreement that this person this time was going to play the bad guy, and that was going to help others. At the same time, that's not our problem. Our problem is to say we need to clear the space. We need to clear the space, and this everything goes forward. Everything goes up and on.
Yeah, and exactly. We need to clear the space. The fourth dimension was not meant to house ghosts and dark beings. It was meant as basically a way station to cross over. Somewhere along the way, we missed the memo on this.
Well, you know, it's good to catch up.
Right, exactly. So by crossing over every soul and affording them the opportunity
with your
to go
class
home.
And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. In this course, we're teaching people how to cross over the dead, whether it's a loved one or you pick up some baggage on a vacation or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. They all need to go home. Ghosts exist throughout the history of this planet. You know, 500 BC India to 1200 AD Ireland. If they don't exist, then why is it every culture has words and terms for ghosts, angels, and demons?
What I wanted to deal with is a wild card, is a property issue. And that, because we talked about that in the very beginning, a property issue. And I've dealt with this going to certain places where it's a place of business, but there's a residue from, you know, whatever it happened to be prior. How do you deal with that?
Are you talking on a personal level or with a client or the class?
Just basically when the person is living in an area that has a predisposition, says there's a Civil War area or a Native American burial ground or a grave site, how do you deal with that? That's a general way.
Tina and I remote view. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, we're not going to teach that in this course. We also do not teach remote viewing because there's so much spiritual law involved. If somebody has a super toxic property, basically we have the services to agent. We will clear it. If somebody wants to start to clear it, the course will give them a lot of the tools. If it's super toxic, if someone was murdered there, was one woman in Colorado bought a house where a serial killer murdered five women in his living room. That's going to take a little bit more than just what we can teach in the course. It's a little bit more sophisticated problem. Yeah. An Indian burial ground, which is actually what's happened in Mission San Juan Capistrano, is you need far more tools to be able to clear that. If it's a simple haunting, use the crossing over prayer.
Yeah.
And use all those tools. If you've done all those things and you've really raised it, that's fantastic. But if it's a serious, serious problem, a huge fire, that's a more sophisticated problem, and there are levels. It's like you can go to the store and get cold remedies and you can really help yourself. If you have a more serious problem, you need a more professional level.
You have to go to the hospital for pneumonia or something like that. And, you know, the clearing kit also comes, there's no sage in the clearing kit because sage is not designed to remove ghosts or dark entities. It has a different purpose. It does contain a package of resins that are of a high frequency. You know, people always say Christ was given, you know, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Okay, we understand why Christ was given gold. Okay, why was Christ given tree sap? No one ever asked that question, right?
Yeah.
And that is because frankincense and myrrh are high frequency trees. They're not the only high frequency trees. But the resin from those trees, the lifeblood from those trees, is way more powerful than a crispy leaf. Again, back to science.
I like the way you put that, a crispy leaf. Okay.
Now, sage has its purpose. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not going to insult people that use sage. But when you're dealing with the heavy-hitting stuff, sage isn't going to cut it.
It just isn't. It's great for sausage and ceremonies, but it's not going to remove the dead. Not ever. It's never going to remove a dark entity. Not in any dimension.
Okay.
It's great, but it's worthless.
And I think that's part of what this kit is about. And so for people who are interested, theghosthelpers.com is the next step to find out about that. And then you offer a special, like you said, if they're listening, there's a special a coupon for $100 off if they put Wendy.
Use the coupon code Wendy, and it takes the price down to $500, and you get the clearing kit and 5 weeks worth of classes, which is a lot. It's really not a big price point for what you get. The idea is the spiritual service to be able to help others who were in the same boats that we were. Tina and I, we spent years developing this because we kept trying things. Did it work? Did it not work? Because we both lived in a house of horror for years. Not the same house, different houses.
Clarification, yes. Okay, I also want to put in a plug. I utilize the services of Floating KC in Kansas City. This is a way that, for me, helps me. I meditate, but I also need to clear my energy. And so going in there to isolate myself from everything, the drama, just getting the baggage cleared, I do that on a regular basis, and it's recommended for people with post-traumatic stress. It's recommended for people who need time out and can't make it any other way. Floats are fantastic. So I do need to mention that they also offer discounts for EMTs, for firefighters, for police officers, because that's the service they provide. So there's a benefit there in saying thank you for what you do here, a discounted float. But as I'm doing this weekend, realizing, my gosh, you know, this is one way that's just so easy to do to maintain your mental health. And it's easy. You can meditate too. But that comes into play when you're dealing with this, like, psychic self-protection. It's going back to your own safety core and realizing how your thoughts are also playing into this. And that's baggage when you're carrying around a lot of drama, trauma, and soap opera from the daily dribble of watching TV news or going to work. That makes sense?
Yes, a float tank can be really, really good. It will help.
And salt cleanses in every dimension. Right. And
that's one of the biggest issues with a salt tank is you're laying in salt. You're in salt water. If you don't have a salt tank near you, go to the beach. Go to where you get salt air. All those things make a difference.
I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, with the Epsom salts. And it does. It's just an amazing thing. I forgot. My gosh, it took so many layers away. You get adjusted to something, just like meditation. You'll have 5 or maybe 10 sessions, and then that other one, it's like all of a sudden there's an elevation or a shift, and you're not expecting it. It just happens. But in that process, you're acclimating and you're raising your frequency. And so everything that you do to develop and improve and enhance your frequency is a bonus in terms of psychic self-defense. So, and I really believe that what you guys are doing are giving people tools that they can utilize ASAP to help give themselves a buffer from all the stuff that happens in our world that we don't even realize affects us.
Exactly. And, you know, we're really grateful for the platform opportunity to share this information. The long-term goal is the frequency raising of everyone, and anything that we can do that helps people, and yes, it costs money, but it balances the energy that we put into it. I know a lot of people think everything psychic should be free, but your doctor's not free and your car mechanic's not free. And when you're getting this information and there's payment received, it balances between us and the individual. And then there's frankly, sometimes a greater appreciation. So we're really grateful that, one, people can understand and appreciate that, and two, our goal really is to help the world be a better place. And it's just like your goal, Wendy, make the world a better place, and we all benefit.
On your site, you have questions. One of the things is, what happens when I die? And that's like the basic ground zero of, this is the next step. Nobody gets out alive. It's part of our experience in living. And like I said with my dog, in order for me to help her leave, I have to acknowledge that that's part of her process. And I can be present if I get some of my initial grief dealt with and acknowledged, knowing that this is where we're going. Death is the same when we're dealing with a person, knowing that this is coming. But it isn't always a luxury to know ahead of time. What happens when we die?
Yes. And what happens when you die is who you have always been will continue to be. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's the first law of thermodynamics. So the energy that animates you will continue because it is a law of physics. Not because Tina Irwin says it, I'm irrelevant. It's physics law. So who you will continue to be, the energy that animates you will continue to live for eternity. We do live forever. You know, not to be religious, but it's what Christ and many other great masters have said or meant when they talk about life everlasting. It's how you manage what happens when you leave your body.
I think that the whole, as I have done, so you will do too. And some people miss that. It's still that little missing link of, this is a template for all of us. This is where our soul is evolving. And it's all, we get to experience it firsthand here in the physical.
Exactly. And when we can share this with someone, maybe a listener has, I was on a 5-hour flight and I talked to a woman whose mother is dying of breast cancer. And I told her how to help her mother, what to say, and as soon as she dies, how to cross her over. And she just started crying. She's a civil engineer. She didn't believe in any of this. And I knew that I really reached her when these tears started rolling down her face as we landed in Baltimore. And I felt like she waited till I got off the plane, and she hugged me for a long time, and she said, I don't feel helpless anymore. I would hate to think that a friend or family member of a person dying feels helpless. Feel empowered. You can help them into the light. Imagine the healing, the glorious nature. It doesn't matter what your faith is. There's no religion in the afterlife. There just is. And that person gets to get anything in them healed. Their emotions can be healed. Their mental illness could be understood. Their sad hearts could be healed. Imagine that you could facilitate that for another soul. That's so powerful. I mean, imagine that. And again, Wendy, thank you for enabling us to have a voice and share this.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm glad that this is something that I think right now is really necessary, getting people, even if they're not fluent in this kind of language, aware that these are things that we can deal with, that we're not powerless, that we do have that psychic element alive in each and every one of us that says, this is something you can work with. This is something you're familiar with. This is a language that you were born with. So why not practice it? And then if, as you practice, you help everybody around you. So that's what you're doing, is giving people tools to be able to address something that maybe they haven't been able to acknowledge or have been discouraged from working with. So thank you. Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine, you've got a lot of work ahead of you, and hopefully today you'll see some impact from what you're doing. It's like little ripples. They go everywhere. So thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so grateful that we got this opportunity.
If you're listening, I also do a website, wendyscoffeehouse.com, and I put information there, to all sorts of information, unexplained, unexplored ghosts and ETs and aliens. It's a big, wide consciousness arena, and we are getting to experience it, like I said, firsthand in the physical form. And there's a lot to play with, a lot to learn, and a lot to explore. So if you're curious, check out Wendy's Coffee House. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Back with another show next week on Conscious Living and Power Radio.